Charlene. That was beautiful. Our scripture reading, if you turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. Let's kneel as we pray today.
Father, we, your children, are gathered together in your house to worship you today. You're the God of the universe. You're the creator of all. You made us. You sustain us. You came and died for us. Lord, we pray that you will forgive our sins, wash us, make us white as snow. Lord, we pray for those that aren't here today, for whatever reason, that they too will gain a blessing. We pray for protection for each and every one. We pray for those that are having troubles of one kind or another, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. You know the challenges that meet each one of us each day. And Lord, we pray that your peace will be upon each one, that your spirit will fill each one, that we will hear your message today through Colleen's words. And Lord, we know that you're coming soon and we want to be ready. Change us to be more like Jesus, that we can be a blessing when we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I saw my name on the speaking schedule several months ago, I thought, oh dear, what am I going to talk about? So I asked my daughter, what shall I talk about? Well, Kimberly said, it's the same weekend as the prayer conference. I think that's up at Rockaway Beach. Well, there's an idea. I can talk about prayer. So that's what we have today. One Sunday, there was an obituary that was distributed at the First Neglected Church, and here's how it read. Mrs. Prayer Meeting died recently at the First Neglected Church on Worldly Avenue. Born many years ago in the midst of great revivals, she was one of the most influential members of the church family. For the past several years, Mrs. Prayer Meeting has been failing in health. At the last, she was but a shadow of her former self. Her last whispered words were inquiries concerning the absence of her loved ones, now busy in the markets of trade and places of worldly amusements. Experts, including Dr. Works, Dr. Reform, and Dr. Joyner, disagreed to the cause of her fatal illnesses. They had administered large doses of organizations and socials, but to no avail. A postmortem showed that a deficiency of spiritual food, coupled with the lack of faith and general support, were contributing causes. Only a few were present at her death. In honor of her passing, the church door will be closed on Wednesday nights. Well, you know, I think that can be said about a lot of churches and Christians nowadays, but hopefully never here at Valley View. In fact, I don't think so, because I know that there are a number of groups that are meeting during the week in different homes of our church members, and we have groups that are meeting right here at the church, and all those groups are involved in prayer. Little side story before we really get into this. When I came to work on Monday, I usually come through the sanctuary to go out to the front foyer to see if there's anything that I need to pick up and take back to the office. I noticed a Bible sitting on the front pew. What's this? Okay, let's take a look here. I always check to see if there's a name. No, the page is blank. Well, okay, let me look some more. Anything in here that I can... no old bulletins. Well, here's a prayer group lesson. Let's look here. NLT. Now I know why this Bible looks familiar. It belongs to the pastor. So, of course, I called him and let him know that I had found it. NLT, New Living Translation. So that's what I'm going to be using for all of the verses today. We're going to look at a short, monumental verse this morning in James 5, verse 16. In fact, we're not even going to read the whole verse. We're just going to take a look at the first part. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I've had problems with that verse myself. Confess your sins to each other. It's none of your business. But on the other hand, if you know what my sins are, and I tell you about them and ask for prayers, your prayers are going to help me. And that's the whole point of praying for each other. This simple verse is the theology of neology. It's a complete theology of the most powerful force in the universe, the power of prayer. Now, the Christian life is won or lost in the consistent, faithful practice of the basics of our faith. Just to name a few of those basics is prayer, witnessing, fellowship, worship, discipleship, ministry, Bible study, and giving. So this morning, we are going to look at the seven keys to an effective prayer life. And the first key is sanctified prayer. There it goes. That has to do with one's position. Now, do you understand what position God expects before you before he will hear your prayer? I'm not talking about body position. You don't have to be on your knees every time you pray. A lot of times people will say, boy, I've got to get down on my knees in front of the Lord. But that's not always necessary. There's been times when I've been driving around town running some errands, and I start thinking about just different things, and I start praying about it. Maybe I'm talking about family concerns. Or maybe I know someone who is having a problem with their health and they need prayer. Maybe I'm thankful for guardian angels because I saw an accident happen. And if I had been there just a few minutes sooner, I could have been involved. And I'm sure not on my knees when I'm praying then. So anyway, sanctified prayer is prayer that is spoken from the heart of one of God's saints. And through the death of Jesus, we have been given access to the very throne room of God Almighty. James said, the prayer of a righteous man is effective. Let's look at Hebrews 10. We'll start with verse 19 and go through 22. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the love of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And we know that happened when Jesus died. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So the first key is sanctified prayer. The second key, steadfast prayer. What do you think steadfast prayer is? Persistent. Persevere. Too often we get discouraged and we give up on praying because God isn't answering the prayer the way we think it should, or maybe in the time that we think he should. Too often we are impatient about our prayers, and so God's not listening, I'll just give up. Well, I'm not a theologian, but I believe that God answers all our prayers. And that doesn't mean always yes. He doesn't ignore us. Prayers can be answered in one of four ways. Okay, Charlie, what'd I do? Aha. Sometimes he answers directly. He often delays in answering. That's where we get impatient. He occasionally answers differently, maybe a different way than we were expecting. He sometimes denies. And we don't always get, that's there, we don't always get what we want. One day, Jesus' disciples were listening to him tell a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they should never give up. Luke 18:2. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who never feared God, neither feared God, nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" You've all heard of Charles Spurgeon. He lived from 1834 to 1892, long before our time. He was a preacher of the English Particular Baptist Church. And I don't think I've ever heard it put that way before. But this is what an interesting statement that he had. "Prayer pulls the rope down below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir in the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might." Another way of saying, Don't give up on praying. In fact, here's a contemporary way to explain it. If I told you that I had a cell phone that was a direct hookup to heaven, I could guarantee you that if you picked up your end of the phone, God would be on the other end, and that telephone would be priceless. There would be people who are standing in line waiting to talk to God. Well, I'm here to tell you that prayer is man's hotline to heaven. The minute you pick up your end of the line, God picks up his end of the line, and God's word says, call unto me. We are instructed to call, 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 knock, knock, knock. That is steadfast prayer. The third one, specific, united prayer. How we pray is very important. And with whom we pray. You know, we were talking about in the book of James that he said, confess your sins to one another. So we're praying with each other. And God wants us to pray specifically, and he wants us to pray in unison with our brothers and sisters. In Matthew 20, at the very last of the chapter, there's a story about two blind men who prayed specifically, and they were praying for the same reason. So we start in verse 29. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. When Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, they said, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes. Instantly, they could see. Then they followed him. You know, every major move of God in history was preceded by unified and focused prayer effort. Sensitive prayer. Effective prayer is a prayer that is sensitive to God. Did you know that prayer is a two-way street? Sometimes we don't act that way. But when you pray, God listens, but often God talks back. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us during prayer. We need to be still and seek to know what we are being led to pray about. Sometimes our words are, well, we hardly know what to say, but the Holy Spirit is turning those words into what God needs to hear. You know, sometimes I stop and think about my own prayers, and I feel like that I've got my shopping list with me, and I'm going down the list. Okay, God, here's all the things I need. And when I get to the end of it, thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. I didn't wait to hear anything back from God. A pastor was at his office working on his sermon when a call came to the church, and a young man identified himself and said he didn't know what to do. He said he was 22 years old, and that his wife of less than 1 year had suffered a massive stroke. He said, I've got this brochure in the mail, and I felt I should call. Well, of course, the pastor prayed with this young man for his wife, and he asked God to spare the young woman, to bring healing, and to restore these young people back to God. So going back to number one, the sanctified prayer, this has to do with your position. Do you think this pastor asked the young man to get down on his knees? To kneel first? And the pastor got on his knees? I don't think so. This was a sincere prayer over the phone. This pastor was giving comfort to this young man. That is sensitive prayer. The young man needed someone to help him to understand that God is ready to hear. The fifth key, spirit-filled prayer. Now, spirit-filled prayer, obviously, is prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit. It's spirit-led, spirit-controlled, spirit-empowered praying. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, He focuses, fashions, and filters your praying. You know, sometimes our prayers are just mumbled words, but the Holy Spirit knows what to do with them. It's this kind of praying that occurs in the lives of those who are walking in the Spirit and living transformed lives. Jude 20, very short book. The 20th verse says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit." The next key, surrendered prayer. Well, this key pertains to the believer's willingness to submit to the Lord's will in prayer. We don't want to be praying and then go our own way, not to know what God's will is for us. There are some Christians today that feel like whatever we pray for, that God is somehow obligated to answer, to do that prayer, give a positive answer. They say that as long as we pray in Jesus' name and have enough faith, that God must answer. They're not thinking about sometimes God says no. So this attitude is not true. It's a false doctrine. It's false teaching to dare claim authority over God. And my God is too big to be put into a small box that says, name it, claim it on it. Well, these well-meaning people often forget the need is to surrender to God's will. We must learn to pray according to the will of God. That's surrendering. You know that even Jesus did not have every one of his prayers answered by the Father. He prayed that the Father might take away his cup of suffering. And we know what happened there. His suffering, his shame, his sacrifice, all of those things still happened. But he prayed, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I wish that we could all learn to pray with that surrendered heart. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God doesn't always give me everything I pray for. One time there was a pastor that stood up and gave a testimony in a conference meeting, and he said, "I prayed for 15 years as a young man for God to give me a big church and a pretty wife." And he said, he almost answered my prayer. He gave me a big wife and a pretty church. And the last key is service-centered prayer. Service-centered prayer is prayer that is offered to God as one's essential ministry of life. We can do so many good things, but there's few that are more important than prayer. We are instructed in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 3, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. God is pleased with a church that learns the important ministry of prayer. God calls us to pray. He is calling us to pray effectively. And to do so, our prayers must be sanctified, steadfast, specific, sensitive, spirit-filled, surrendered, and service-centered. Those are the seven keys. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for hearing us when we pray. I thank you that we can come to you with every concern, big and small. And now we ask that you pour your Holy Spirit out on this congregation. I ask that you will open our ears so that we will hear you speak to us. Go with us as we leave this place. In your name, amen.